Thank you for listening to Christian Challenge at K-State's podcast. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, follow us on Instagram or visit our website. Hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, everyone. It's Melody again. Welcome back to the Christian Challenge Women's Podcast. We are just making our way through a lot of the various questions that were submitted on panel night. So I do want to go back and pick up one that was asked related to mental health that we didn't cover already in a previous podcast. So Stacy, I'd like to ask this one of you, just so everybody knows, we have actually all four of us are now sitting at the table together. This is Jody, Brooklyn, Gail, and Stacy. Five, I guess. There's five. If you count me, there's five. So Stacy, we're going to let you start. If you wouldn't mind just kind of answering this question. Someone asked, and remember, this was submitted on the night of the panel, and it says, if someone is struggling right now tonight, what would you want to say to them? What advice would you give them? So, you know, maybe this person who asked the question is personally themselves struggling, or maybe the person who asked this question was thinking about their friends in the room. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure.
Would you speak to that, Stacy? What advice would you give someone who's struggling right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of broad, so this isn't going to be the answer for everyone, but maybe it is actually. I think that this can be universal and kind of get shifted based on where you're at. But I kind of gave three applications from the time that I shared. And the first thing that I shared was to get and find quiet, seek out quiet. And I want to read a quote that from a book that I read when I did a personal retreat a few months back, which that's a great way to get quiet, is to kind of take a personal retreat, take a day and go sit at a park by yourself without your phone, just be in quiet. And the quote says, many avoid the path of self-knowledge because they are afraid of being swallowed up in their own abyss. But Christians have confidence that Christ has lived through all the abysses of human life and that he goes with us when we dare to engage in sincere confrontation with ourselves. Because God loves us unconditionally, along with our dark sides, we don't need to dodge ourselves. In the light of this love, the pain of self-knowledge can be at the same time the beginning of our healing. And that quote's by Andreas Ebert. But what I love about that quote is it kind of encourages us to think about, man, when we get into quiet, when we go and are willing to examine ourselves, God can reveal things to us about why we're struggling, or speak things to us when we allow there to be space for quiet, which kind of goes into the second takeaway that I shared, which was to learn the secret. And so again, if you remember that question that Melody asked me from the song, says there's a secret we can only know walking through places we don't want to go. And so again, I would encourage you here to search the scriptures, read the Psalms. One that's been really helpful for me actually from Isaiah 57:15, it says, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the hearts of the contrite. And it's like, man, when we go to the quiet, when we bring our needs before God, we can recognize that God is with us in our most lowly and contrite states, and that he will meet us there. So like seeking God through the scriptures, the Psalms, things of that nature. And the third thing was to let it inform your life. Let the secrets that you learn in the scriptures inform your life. And for me, I share that my life verse per se was Hebrews 12. And it talks about running the race with endurance, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And all of that is in light of Hebrews 11. And for me, Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12 have really informed my life in seeing, like, here's all of these stories in Hebrews 11 of people who were faithful to God and who trusted that God would be faithful to them, even though they didn't get the things that they thought they were promised. And so I think of that in my life as in the midst of, like, suffering and struggling with things and things that I feel like I'm entitled to, like a child and a super happy marriage and financial security and things that we're like, oh yeah, we just get these things in life. What if we don't? Like, can I be okay because I can trust that I'm a stranger and an exile in this earth? And so for me, when I really search the scriptures, apply them, like Hebrews 11 and Hebrews 12, those are the things that really have brought me peace in my life. So that's kind of how I think about that. That's the advice I would give. Go to quiet, learn the secret through searching the scriptures, and let the scriptures inform your life.
Can I add one?
Please. Yeah.
I think the only thing I would add to that is and we've said this in other podcasts, I think, is talk to someone.
Yes, absolutely.
Do not, if you're struggling, do not struggle alone. Right. I love Stacy's mm-hmm. three things. Mm-hmm. They're all so, so good and so important.
Yes.
I would simply add, if you're struggling, please bring somebody else into that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Life group leader, a friend, staff person.
Yep.
Talk to someone.
Yeah. Yep. Galatians 6:2, like we carry one another's burdens when it's too heavy. And so absolutely do not do it without community.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Stacy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's move on to a little bit different topic. I don't know how some people felt about the two women's nights. I think the general consensus has been people thought they were wonderful, and I think the feedback we've gotten has been really positive. But I'm wondering if there's some people who might have been a little bit disappointed that we didn't talk specifically about women. You know, it was this, we chose a topic that was more broad, like knowing Jesus, which I make no apologies for. I feel like that's just so core. Like, if you know Jesus, mm-hmm. a lot of things will sort themselves out in life. But I also understand, like, the questions, like, what's biblical femininity, and what does it mean to be a godly woman? And those are real questions. And I know the guys talked about godly manhood very specifically. So if we do another women's night next year, perhaps we'll tackle more of the specific womanhood questions. But we did have a couple of questions that fall in that category mm-hmm. to the panel, so I thought we might take a minute to address them. So here's the first one. This person was asking, has the media corrupted the view of what being a Proverbs 31 kind of woman is? And then follow up to that was just, what does being a godly woman look like? Anybody want to take a stab at that? Again, this is a very broad, you could do an entire Bible study on this. Mm-hmm. What would anybody want to say about that? Anyone? Got any takers? I have some thoughts, but I'll let one of y'all go first if you want.
Sure. I mean, I think for me, when I think of the media, I think of two worlds. You have like very secular media that portrays a woman as various things. And then you also have kind of like a faith side of media that can also mm-hmm. portray womanhood to be certain things. And both are usually unattainable, right? Like I think of these influencers on social media and you watch them be wives and moms and they're like making homemade goldfish because they won't they mill their own flour. And I'm like, I don't have time to go buy flour and I don't even have kids yet, you know? So how am I going to be like this?
Right.
And so there's these two extremes kind of in the world. And what has been most interesting to me as I've kind of read Proverbs 31 and thought about womanhood is it doesn't really look like either. Like being a godly woman doesn't ascribe to one or the other. It looks like walking with Jesus. It looks like aiming to have a healthy marriage and a healthy family that walks with the Lord. And for me, I used to struggle with thinking my hobbies don't really fall into this. The things I enjoy don't really fall into this. Like I love woodworking. I love building things. When Jake and I got married, I'm the one that had all the tools. Like I had the table saw, I had hand built our kitchen table. Like I love that stuff. And Jake enjoys like board games. And so he like kind of crafts his own board games and stuff of that nature. And both of those things don't ascribe us to be less feminine or less masculine. Like those things are not defining. And I think for me, recognizing that, like we can both thrive with the giftings that God has given us and be honoring God with the ways that we are feminine and masculine. Like they're beautiful either way. And so, I think we just have to be careful of we know, it's kind of like obvious, we avoid this type of media from non-believers and avoid being like that. But also recognizing, man, we can't hold ourselves to a standard that's unattainable that we see on social media, mm-hmm. especially amongst like professing Christians, mm-hmm. that it's just, yeah, so hard to mm-hmm. compare yourself to.
Right. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think one thing that Jody has quoted and referred to Sam Alberry a couple times on this podcast, because several of us just recently went and heard him speak, and it was just so good. And I think we're going to probably put the links to those talks by Sam Alberry in some of the description notes of this podcast. So look for those. I think I would highly recommend. Those are very well worth listening to.
Absolutely.
But one thing that he said that I so appreciated is that we have to be careful when we're talking about certain things. And I think this is one of those topics. What is godly womanhood? What is godly manhood? I do think you have to be a little bit careful not to go farther than Scripture goes.
Yeah, right. For sure.
Because you're hard-pressed to find a very many passages of Scripture that say, this is a godly woman. I mean, obviously Proverbs 31, mm-hmm. but when you really dig into Proverbs 31, like, there's a lot of stuff there that we tend to think of it as this kind of picture of femininity, like stereotypical. But when you read it and study it, like, she was very industrious. She even worked outside the home. She had a business.
Right.
So, you know, I just think we have to be a little bit careful about saying more. I just want to go back to the core of what we talked about, the topic for our women's nights, knowing Jesus. If you know Jesus, if your heart is soft toward him, if you are determined to obey him in all things, whatever he reveals to you from his word, you're going to submit to that and do it because God said it.
Yeah.
Then I think you're good. You don't. Mm-hmm. I just think we have a lot of stereotypes about this is what a man should be. This is what a woman should be. And I just think there's a lot more gray in that than we're maybe comfortable with sometimes. And I totally understand the need and the felt need to define that. There's such a blurring of lines in today's culture.
Right.
Yeah. And I just think we have to be careful that we don't draw the lines in the wrong place.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that makes sense. Anybody else? Brooklyn or Jody, you want to weigh in on that at all?
Well, when I read this question, I thought of Sam. I pulled out my Sam Alberry notes. And one thing that he said that I just thought, this is similar to what Melody already shared, but he said the vast majority of what God says to us, he says to us together, like men and women together, without distinction. Good. He said we're not that different.
Right.
But the Bible does say some things to men and women specifically, like we're not identical. Yeah. So God uniquely created us to be women or to be men, like with specific, like we're not identical, and the world needs both. We should live as women and embrace that and embrace just the unique ways that God has created us and the gifts he's given us. But similar to like what Melody shared, it's like, but also like when we look at the word, like don't, I love what you said, like don't go beyond what the word says and like know that like we're not that, I think we're not as different as sometimes like certain camps want us to think we are. So
And I mean I feel the tension as we were answering this question of like people saying, well, okay, we're different, and so God made us uniquely. Well, what is the uniqueness? And I feel sometimes I feel a little bit hesitant to try to speak to that because I feel like we overemphasize it sometimes. But I do want to say, like, I think I could offer one that I think is generally true. Just by the way that God made our physical bodies, God created females to be nurturers. Whether I ever have a baby or not, my body was created to bear and nurture and birth life and feed it, you know, from my body. So again, whether I ever get married and have babies, which I'm not going to at this stage of life, but whether
maybe
that's
marriage still,
marriage maybe, that might still be in my future. But I think there is something about the way God made women that we do lean into being nurturers, the way we care for our friends, the way we care for our families. Okay. It's a little bit different. Not that, and I'm not saying that men can't be nurturing. They can be. Yeah. Some women are don't feel like nurturers as much, you know.
Right.
Again, there's a little bit, it's right. not so black and white, but I think generally speaking, women are more nurturing. And if you're not, if you struggle with that a little bit, I think it'd be good to think about, why don't I feel that way? Mm-hmm. Can I learn? Can I grow in that? Can I address any issues in my life mm-hmm. that maybe make me feel hesitant to be that way? You know, because right. I do think that's how God made us. And we right. are uniquely equipped in our very body
mm-hmm. right.
to be the more nurturing
right.
of the two. Mm-hmm. So totally. That might be one thing that I would say yeah. is good for you to think about in terms of differences. Mm-hmm. Even now, as a college student, in your friend groups, how are you displaying like that nurturer heart to be the person who sees needs and cares for people?
Right. Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
Yeah. Which is such a sweet thing. Like, it's such a gift that...
It is.
Yeah.
It is. You know, I think women often see, you know, we're often the people taking the temperature in the room.
Yes.
Like, did you know that that happened? Or did yes. you see that person's countenance? You know, yes. we're often caring for people's feelings.
Yes.
And that's such a gift.
Yeah.
It's a gift. Okay, let's do one more question, and then we'll wrap this podcast up. Let's talk about, this is kind of a heavy question as well. How do you relate to men when a man has caused you suffering in life and you have anxiety talking to any man? That's the question.
Yeah, that one just broke my heart to hear. I mean, just because I know that that's a lot of people's stories.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, oh, I just long for you to know some different men.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I think I heard someone say one time that when you've been wounded in relationship, and we all have mm-hmm. to some degree,
mm-hmm. right?
Healing for that comes in relationship
mm-hmm.
for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to get if a man has hurt me, I'm not going to find healing and be able to move mm-hmm. forward in relating to men without being in relationship mm-hmm. with men. Mm-hmm. And that feels scary. Absolutely. It feels risky. Mm-hmm. I'll tell a personal story from my life. Mm-hmm. I was on staff when I was younger, much younger, in California. I was in college ministry in California. And then I got invited to join the staff at the University of Nebraska, which at the time was an all-male staff. I think at least maybe two or three. I can't remember who was on staff at the time even. But there were two or three men on staff. And the director was a very godly, strong personality individual, widely influential. And he invited me to come on his staff as the, at that time, would be the only female on the staff. And this is a very long story, which I'd be happy to tell in another context. But for the sake of time, I'll just say one of the reasons, there were a number of them, but one of the reasons I decided to make that move was and go on staff in Nebraska was because I was beginning to really process in life my own story. I was a victim of sexual abuse as a child, as a young child. And I was just beginning to really process that in my life. I had kind of been doing that for a couple of years and was thinking about my story. And I just felt like I need to be in relationship with men mm-hmm. who are brothers in Christ. I need to be on a team where there are men
yeah.
that I have to trust and follow their leadership.
Yeah.
I knew that that would be healthy for me. And it terrified me.
Yeah.
And my boss in Nebraska, he and I talked about this. Like, this is terrifying to me. And he's like, I know, I can be scary. but it was so good for me. Mm-hmm. It was it was really healing for me to make that. And that's one of the primary reasons I made that move,
wow.
was to be on a staff team with men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I knew I needed to grow in this. I needed to grow in my trust. I needed yeah. to be around different sorts of men.
Yeah,
yeah. That's so good.
Yeah. Anybody else want to speak to that?
I think for me, it's like remembering who the enemy is. Mm-hmm. And it's not men.
Yeah.
Which can sound harsh. So know that I'm not saying that in like a way that's insensitive or ignorant to the fact that there's a lot of suffering that mm-hmm. from people that are listening to this who have been hurt by men.
Yeah, and real hurt.
Mm-hmm. Real hurt, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of my story, both in dating relationships, but also with my dad and mm-hmm. like relationship with him. And yeah, I think I loved what Melody said about like you, some, a lot of the healing is going to be done through the interactions you have with healthy men. Mm-hmm. And I had some hesitancy when I first became an intern and joined staff with the men that were around me. And the more time that I spent time with them, I remember like at one point I was like, I would follow Robbie Nutter anywhere. Like mm-hmm. I would trust him. And I had, this is kind of a long story. So I almost got scammed like a month ago. And the first thing I did after calling my husband who was working was I like called Brian and Nate and Robbie because I thought I was about to get scammed and was really scared. And it's like, the more that I have recognized and like mm-hmm. provided opportunities to trust them and to like, honestly, there are moments that I'm like, I need just like a godly man mm-hmm. right now to speak into this moment. Mm-hmm. I've had that. And so, like, yeah, just providing opportunities for men to show up and to serve and to love and especially seeing the guys on our staff be dads has been really sweet for me of, like, this is what it looks like for a man to love Jesus and to love his family. So just get around it. Like, if you're on a ministry team, watch the staff person love their children. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so sweet for me.
Yeah. Can I add, here's a really random thing I would say to mm-hmm. women listening to this podcast, especially if this is something you struggle with. Stacey shared a while ago just about sort of some of her tendency to be kind of independent, like mm-hmm. I can do it, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which was born, it's partly her personality, mm-hmm. maybe.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But it's also partly of the brokenness of your family. You mm-hmm. just, you had to be independent.
Right.
So I just want to say to women, when a man in challenge offers to do something for you,
mm-hmm.
say yes.
Yep.
You should just say yes. I think this is a part of the healing. Yeah. If you are a person who's in the habit of saying, oh, no, no, I got it. I can do it. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, no, no, I can carry that.
Yeah.
You know, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a slam on your abilities.
Yeah.
Perhaps mm-hmm. you are quite able to do that. But I think it will be good for your heart if you will let a trusted man help mm-hmm. you right. in some way.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Okay, let's be done with this podcast. We'll wrap it up. Thanks for listening. And we'll perhaps see you on another podcast.